nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, and here's what I want to lift out this evening, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We know the story. The Apostle Paul's taken prisoner. He is put on a ship. And in verse number 6, they found that centurion of Alexander. He was sailing into Italy, and they put Paul and the other prisoners on there. And we know that the storm arose in verse number 14, and much has been preached, like I said, down through the years about this passage. But I'm interested in verse number 25, and that's what I want to get to, and we'll cut out a lot of the introduction. But in verse 21, Paul gives them a slight correction about Crete. He told them, he said, you should have hearkened to me, and they should have hearkened to the man of God. It would have been a lot better for them. And the only thing they were going to gain out of verse 21 was to have gained this harm and loss. They were going to save their lives, but they were going to lose the ship. And I heard a preacher, he made a statement out of verse number 10. He said, where the Bible said, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of ship, but also our lives. And there are life-changing storms. And this is one that Paul encountered. And I really believe that what happened in this passage, it's not real hard to understand. A lot of it's been argued down through the years. But in verse number 22, he said, Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. And he tells them, he said, for there's not going to be any loss of any man's life, but we're going to lose the ship. The ship is going to be lost. And in verse 23, he tells them, he said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And there's a communion that we have, that we see there with the Lord. I really believe that angel there is the Lord Himself. I won't argue with it. I know that Jesus, He appeared in the Old Testament. They called that Christophanies, the pre-Calvary experiences and existence. And if He was big enough God and big enough Lord to appear in the Old Testament, there's nothing wrong with Him appearing after Calvary. And I really believe that that was Him that came to Paul and gave him a word. That's what I want to deal with for just a few minutes. Notice as we listen to Paul, you hear him in verse number 20. The Bible said, Now when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Whether it's a lapse of faith or whether it's just an honest spirit, Paul said, all hope is gone. He said it's over. He had trusted the Lord. And you got to remember, Paul's only been saved about 18 or 19 chapters. This is the first life-changing storm, the greatest life-changing storm that he's experienced. But you and I know that the Lord's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And I hear the calmness in Paul's spirit. He's been on his face in verse number 21 in that place of long abstinence. And he's believing by faith. That's how we're saved. That's how we serve the Lord. And it's easy to say that and sing it and preach it until it comes to your storm and everything's turned upside down and it seems like there's no hope and there's not going to be any salvation out of it. But then he makes confidence. You see his confidence, and we could look at that in verse number 10 and verse number 11. His will was overrode. They chose the master of the ship. They chose to listen to him and to follow him. His word that he gave in verse number 11 and verse 10 was rejected. But in the times of the storms, that's when the pause of life appear. And we know that's when the Lord's molding us and He's making us. He's not mad at us. And you'll know if it's known sin in your life, if it's something wrong. I've met people down through the years and they say, Preacher, I don't know if I'm suffering for something I did wrong. You'll know it. You'll know it. You won't have to ask me or anybody else. You'll know the thought of foolishness is sin. Just the simple things. To him that knows knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it's sin. Paul's not done anything wrong, but he's suffering the storm of someone else, if you will. Many people tonight are suffering. They're in these life-changing storms, and that's where Paul's at. But he gets comfort, and that's what I want to touch on for just a minute. He gets a comfort. He gets comfort from the sovereign. And we got to remember that Paul's no superhuman. We know in the Scripture he was a great man besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if Paul was here tonight, he'd say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He'd start testifying about what he used to be, where he used to go, what he used to do to the church. But he'd stop somewhere and he'd say, "But God. But God saved me, changed me, commissioned me, did all these things." And whether this is the end of Paul's ministry or not, he's going to serve God. But we know that the Lord's not through with him. And he gets comfort from the sovereign. And let me say this about verse number 25 as we start to look into it. There is a literal appointment with your storm. Whatever it is we're facing this evening that you come on the grounds with, that you faced this week, it may have been a call that you got this week that's changed your life. God knew when we met here this evening what it would be. It's not caught Him off guard. He's not searching heaven wondering what He's going to do, how He's going to fix it, how He's going to make it right. You say, "Oh, preacher, are you one of them?" I don't know what one of them is, but I believe I serve a big enough God. He sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. It's not a doctrine that I'm trying to push. It's the way we rest at night. It's the way we pillow our head. Is that He's a God that knows before we ever enter into it what's going to be in it and what's going to be on the other side. Many times in the Gospels we see Jesus sending His own disciples out in a storm. They didn't know there was going to be a storm, but He knew, and He still sent them into that. And if He did that to His disciples, how much more will He do it to you and I, His children, part of the family of God, to mold us and to make us, to show us who He is and who we are. God knew when He called and commissioned Paul to go to Rome that he would have an appointment with this storm. You think, look back in verse number 6. The Bible said, "And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein." If Paul hadn't been on this ship would have never made it. I really believe the storm was coming, and had Paul not been on there, they would have lost the ship and lost their lives. I'm telling you, sometimes it's a good thing to be around the children of God and the people of God. I remember before I got saved, I'd come in at night. I don't talk too much about that anymore. My boys are getting old enough to understand. But I'd come in late up in the night, not really know what world you's in. But I knew enough about that Bible, and I'd heard my daddy preach and my brother preach and my mother pray. And I'd come to my mother's bedroom door, and I'd knock on that door, and I'd knock, and she wouldn't answer, and I'd knock a little louder, and I'd say, "Mother, Mother," and she'd say, "What, Jimbo?" And I'd say, "Oh, nothing, just go back to bed." I was going to make sure the rapture hadn't took place, friend. I'm telling you, every now and then it's a good place to be around a child of God. According to Acts 6, in verse number 6, this ship was sailing, and it was a good thing Paul was on it. There's a literal appointment with the storm. But in verse 21, there's this place of long abstinence. The word abstinence, the educated men, they say that it means a time of fasting. The 22 years I've been saved and the time I've heard the Bible preached, I kind of pictured verse 21 as Paul's praying. He's in a storm. Some of you men may have been out on the ocean. You may have served in the military in times of storm. It's not a good place to be. It's reeling and it's rocking. You go back to verse 14 and 15. They throw everything to the providence of God. Start casting things overboard. The man of God, Paul himself, already made the statement, "All hope that we should be saved is gone." And Paul finds himself in verse number 21 in this place of long abstinence. Paul may have prayed in that place, but I can promise you and show you from the Scripture it was God that did the talking. I don't know, Paul may have said something, but I can show you it was the Lord that did the talking. Church, it's Sunday night, and we know how the Christian life is. Can you not remember when God pulled you aside into that place of long abstinence to pull you away, to pull your focus away and your attention away from everything else that's going, so that He could just speak to us? We're busy. We're caught up. We're running to and fro. We're raising children. Some are raising grandchildren as well. And as it is, God pulls Paul aside in that place of long abstinence and gives him some words that helps him. It was Paul that did the listening and God that did the talking. In verse 20, it was a place of no hope. But then in verse 22, he comes out saying there's not going to be any harm. You can only get those words in the place of long abstinence. Not only that place there of long abstinence, but in verse 23 and 24, there's the Lord's appearance. In the midst of the stormy gales, there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. And I really want to believe it's Jesus. I won't argue. If you've seen it and somebody's told you and showed you, just let me go back to the mountains believing that Jesus came. He heard Paul saying, all hope's gone. He's heard me say it. I got the Spirit of God dwelling in me, the Word of God, the full canonization, the church praying. He's heard me say in the last 22 years, all hope's gone. This must be it. This storm's going to take us down. We'll never make it to the other side. God heard Paul, and He didn't send an angel. He didn't send Michael or Gabriel. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And I really believe that He loved Paul enough, and He loves you and I enough to pull us aside and to give us a word. Paul only been saved about 18 chapters back to Acts chapter 9. Greatest storm in his life. He's not going to leave us. You'll hear that a lot around the Baptist church. They're going to quote, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But when He doesn't ever leave you, and everybody else may turn, they may not know what to say, they may not know how to deal, but He'll be there, He'll listen, He's touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Everything that we'll ever encounter, He encountered at Calvary. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. It's an appointed storm. There's that place of long abstinence before the Sovereign. And then that appearance of the Savior. In verse 23, the Bible said, for there stood by me this night. He's a personal Savior. He stood by me. Now, let me show you this, and you already know it, but it's hard for us to see it. The storm doesn't stop after verse 25. They're going to go on and act like they're going to throw the anchors out. They're going to wish for the day. What we're seeing is happening right in the middle of the storm. God comes to Paul in this place of long abstinence. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, however we can understand it, gives him a word. He said, there stood by me that personal appearance. But the Lord did not stop it. Do you see that? How many times have we prayed, Lord, stop it. Stop this storm. He could have. We saw Him do it in the Gospels. He stilled it. He spoke to the waves, spoke to the wind. They humbled themselves and bowed down. But He did not stop the storm. But He stood with him. You remember them old timers singing, He's going to stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. I remember when I was a little boy, they used to sing at my daddy's church, Brother Ken. They didn't even have music. And they'd get this fanning like these ladies over here are, because they didn't have air conditioning. And there's a fanning, and it wouldn't be long till the fans would be flying. They'd get to shout. And I'd sit back there as a little boy. They didn't have no music. Wasn't anything really motivating and pushing them. And I thought, what in the world has excited them? Why have they turned loose of them fans and looking up at the ceiling like they're looking into another world? They knew a God that stood by them in the midst of the storm. The storm doesn't stop. It doesn't end. But God came in the middle of the storm, and He spoke what they needed to hear. It's a personal Savior. It was a powerful storm. Many times we could go back and look, but time won't allow. The powerful storms, they come in the night. He said, for there stood by me this night. And there's one back in Acts 23. It's a nighttime experience. Nobody's around. And that's when your faculties, your mind gets to playing tricks. And you get to thinking, nobody cares. The church don't care. Preacher don't care. Sunday school don't care. Your mind in those nighttime places. Here's where Paul was at. He said, all hope that we should be saved is taken away. There's a personal declaration in verse 24. Not only did the Lord stand by him, but the Lord spoke to him. Some of you asked me out of the prayer room, they asked, where do you live? And I say, between Asheville and Johnson City. I don't want to say Asheville because there's some strange people in Asheville, North Carolina. I thought there's some strange people at the underground Atlanta back in the 80s. There's some strange cats up there in the mountains. I mean, it's the hub of the eastern part of the United States. It looks like a little San Francisco. They talk to trees. We was out scouting for turkey season. And here was a lady out there, and she was walking around, and she was talking to a tree. I didn't want to get close enough to find out what she was saying. She was talking to that tree, lifting her hand up at that tree, and it didn't have nothing to do with God. I didn't see that tree move. I didn't see it bring its branches down and steal her heart and comfort her soul. They talk to rocks. They talk to birds. They talk to, but I've never seen one of them dry a tear, put a smile where a broken heart has been. Not only did the Lord stand by Paul, but he spoke to him. He said in verse number 24, saying, fear not, Paul. Fear not. And here's my East Tennessee. That's where I was born and raised. You men hugged me before you knew where I was from. He said, fear not. For him to say, fear not, the Lord must have sensed fear in Paul. Several times in the four Gospels, you hear Jesus saying, remember Jairus? They come, they said, your daughter's dead. All Jesus, first thing he said, fear not. He don't just say that to fill up Bible. He senses fear. You don't have to raise your hand. I know where we're living in 2014. We're afraid about the election. We're afraid about money, about retirement, about our children, our grandchildren, about another world war. We're living in fear, but I'm glad that we have a God that loves us enough to come where we're at and not just stand by us, but to speak to us. And He says what nobody else can say. He'll say, fear not, fear not. He spoke to him. You think the Lord didn't chastise Paul for saying all hope that we should be taken away was then gone. He didn't leave him. He didn't church him. He didn't belittle him, make light of him. But He gave him a word of comfort. Fear not, Paul. Has He not done it for you in days gone by? Aren't you glad the Lord hadn't answered all the prayers you prayed? I know some people that better thank God He didn't answer all the prayers I prayed. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He loves us knowing what He's going to do for us and with us and through us and in us. He didn't rebuke Paul, didn't set him on a shelf. He gave him a word of comfort, a word of comfort. And then in the latter part of verse 24, there's a providential destination. This may not sound like much at the beginning, but he said, thou must be brought before Caesar. What does that mean? Well, I'll save you time. We'll go back. Acts chapter 23. It's a nighttime experience. Verse 11. In the previous verses, they want to kill Paul. In the following verses, they're thinking about killing him. But in verse number 11, and the night following, there's one of them night times in Paul's life. The Lord stood by him. There he is again standing by and said, be of good cheer. Isn't it amazing? Paul comes out of that place of long abstinence. You know what he said? Be of good cheer. Where did he learn them words at? I know it's not proper English. The Lord told them to him. We can't tell somebody what God hadn't done in our life. We can't effectually make a difference in somebody else's life till God brings us into a nighttime experience and shows Himself and shows us who He is that we can be able to help others. And the Bible said, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You come back to our text. The angel of the Lord told him, Paul, you got to be brought before Caesar. That don't mean much to me till I started asking the Lord, what's it mean? He told him back in Acts 23 he was going to Rome. Paul's done said in verse 20, all hope that we should make it's taken away, it's gone. And the Lord reminds him of what he promised in days gone by. You remember that promises God gave you when you first got saved? When you was crazy enough to believe Him? When the Holy Ghost spoke to you and you didn't know the Baptists hadn't diminished your mind and they hadn't discouraged you? God can't. We're saying God can, God can. And then we heard the wet blanket say God can't and He ain't and He ain't going to. Paul got a word back in Acts 23. You're going to Rome as you preached here. You're going to stand before Caesar. And what the Lord reminded Paul of in the middle of the worst storm of his life was words that He had gave him in days gone by. I remember Brother Edgar Thomas, he'd tell us when I first got saved, he'd say if we could just get a word from God, it could last us a year. He'd say, pastors, if you could get a word from God for your church, it could carry you a year. A word from, not a word from me or the sword of the Lord or the golden nugget books, but get a word from God in the midst of your storm. Something real, something that helps you and changes you and transforms you to be able to help someone else. That's what happened to Paul. But the Lord reminded him. He said, thou must be brought before Caesar. And here it is, verse 25. Paul comes out of that place of long abstinence. The Lord, we've got recorded what the Lord told him in that place of long abstinence. He said, fear not. He said, you're going to preach. You're going to Rome. You're going to appear before Caesar. And verse 25, Paul comes out of that place of long abstinence and he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Where did he hear that at? About four chapters ago when the Lord told him. Watch this now. It's the middle of the storm. The storm hasn't stopped. Daybreak hasn't come. The birds ain't singing. The waves are coming over. The ship's creaking and breaking, going to get ready to fall apart. They've already thawed the wares overboard. They've turned the steering wheel loose and they're just letting her drive in the providential winds. But in the middle of that, God pulls Paul aside and gives him a word. Paul comes out of that place and he says, hey, everybody, y'all be a good cheer. Don't you know they thought Paul lost his mind? Isn't it amazing when a new convert, they get saved, born again, fall in love with Jesus, they come in, they just want to testify, and they'll try to encourage some of us that have been saved and in the way, and they'll try to encourage us, believe God, be of good cheer. And I know myself, you sit back and wonder, wait till you have weathered a storm, wait till you walk through that valley, but the same God that first saved us and put that hope and that light in our eye and that light in our soul is the same God that we serve this evening. Paul comes out of that place of long abstinence and he said, I believe God. Be of good cheer. Don't you know they must have said, well, one of them masts must have hit Paul in the head. He's lost it. He's engulfed too much seawater, salt water. He's hilarious. He's lost his mind. No, he didn't lose his mind. He got reminded of some past promises. Can you hear Paul? Why did he say that? I've heard some of God's greatest men expound. Why did he say, I believe God? Didn't he believe God on the Damascus Road? Didn't he believe God when he said, what would you have me to do? He believed it. He believed what he heard back three chapters ago when the Lord reminded him in the middle of the storm, I made you a promise. You're going to the other side. And he had to be pulled aside and reminded that God meant what he said. And he's going to keep his word. He's never left us. He's not forsaken us. And it encouraged Paul so much that he come out saying, I want you all to know I believe God. What do you believe, Paul? I believe what he told me. I'm going to the other side. I got a tape of my brother preaching out of Acts 27. He said if this had to be the first submarine experience, Paul was going to the other side. God said, you're going to preach at Rome. If he had to have the first submarine to get across, he was going to preach. I'm just telling you, I came this way tonight to tell you that the promises God made you in days gone by, He's not forgot them. He's not going to let them go. He's not going to let us go. He's not going to forget us, maybe even in the greatest storm of your life. You say, preacher, what are we supposed to believe God about? You think about it with me. A lot of us have got family members that's lost. You remember when God gave you them promises? You know the difference in them old-timers we read about? They were just crazy enough to tell us what God promised. We're too scared to come out. We'll think people have thought we've done lost it. We've done missed it. They'd come out and say, God gave me a word. He's going to save my son, save my daughter. It was a hope for them to pray. It was a help for them to be able to hold on. And it's amazing how God would come in and He would do what He promised He would do. Before I got saved, my wife, she'd got saved at 19 or 20 years old. And she was praying that God would allow her to marry a preacher. And here's her prayer. And she's not a hyper-Calvinist. She'd pray, Lord, if he's not saved, find him and save him and bring us together. And she held to it. I don't know if she wants God to keep up His end of the deal now. She may be praying, God, you can have him back if you want him. But we prayed effectually and fervently. And it's just amazing how God honored our faith, our simple faith prayers in those days. We've got family that's lost. I've got family. It looks like they're going further away from God. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've invited, you've come to meeting after meeting, you've invited them to come, you tithe, you pay the bills, to keep the lights up, and it looks like they're going further and further away. We're going to have to believe God. We're going to have to believe God. I know that's a shallow statement to help what your hurt is tonight, but we're going to have to believe God. The promises He gave us, we've got family that's lost. I turned 51 years old last month. And starting to see physical limitations. I mean, I told our church, I've been knowing them. I've been pastoring there 3 years, but I've been knowing them about 12 years. Where we were younger when we first met, now we're dealing with cancer. Now we're having to bury some of our family members. And the same God that was there when we met, we shouted and we run the aisles and we cry, is the same God in the midst of the storm. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't ask for it, but sometimes the word that He gives in the time of the storm seems to last a lot longer than some of the mountaintop shouting experiences we've had down through the years. We've got far off loved ones. You know that daddy there in the parable? He never quit looking. But Lance Carpenter, he sung that song. He's still setting my place at the table. He never quit looking. And you know when that boy came home, the father ran to where he was and put his arms around him. And I had a man tell me, I didn't know it. I saw what the Bible said, that he kissed him. But he said in the Greek, he didn't just kiss him on the cheek. It means to kiss him and to kiss him and to kiss him. He wouldn't let go. He was rejoicing in that was lost is found. He's come home. He's come home. But you answer this in your heart. Do we still pray and believe that they're going to come home? They broke your heart. They've hurt your soul. You may be like Paul was in verse 20, all hope's gone. One preacher said years ago, when hope's all gone, help's on the way. When it gets looking too bad for man, that's when he can step in and do his greatest work. F.B. Meyer said, yes, the angels of God can find their way through the murkiest air and alight on the most weather-beaten vessel that ever plowed its difficult way through the stormy seas. Wherever thou art, O child of God, God's angels has their eyes fixed lovingly on thee, and in a moment, if it were His will, to give thee eyes that thou wouldest behold them. We're not alone. We're not sailing alone. God knows where we are, where we're going, where we've been, and He's not going to leave us. Has He gave you a word? Maybe He's brought it to mind this evening, a word He's gave you in days gone by. You may be lapsing. In verse 14 down through verse 19, 20. And I wouldn't belittle Paul for saying all hope. I mean, it looked like all hope was gone. For some of us, it looked like all hope was gone before we was going to get saved. And God saved us. That's where Paul was at. You may be lapsing in those verses. You may be living in the time of the greatest storm of your life. But just remember, that last storm you thought was the greatest storm of your life, God saw us through it. He may have not have done it exactly like we wanted it to be, but we're still here. And the songwriter said it well, safe thus far. But we're listening. I tell you what I'm listening for. I'm listening for that word. Fear not. That word that only He can give. Do you remember any promises He made you? You say, preacher, I've never told them to anybody. You may be like me. I mean, people will mark you, label you if you was to get in a place of prayer and come out saying, God's give you this victory. We're not naming it and claiming it. We're not making God, pushing Him in a corner, saying, I'm glad He talks to His children. He said, if a natural father loves his child enough to be good to him and provide for him, how much more does our Heavenly Father? He wants to talk to us and walk with us. He's not dangling a carrot in front of us in the life of the child of God. He's made His promises. Paul, my desire when we leave here tonight, if the Lord ever brings tonight back to your memory, I pray that you can say like Paul, I believe God. Paul didn't say I understand what God's doing. You read it tonight. The storm doesn't stop. It doesn't. I mean, the moon don't come out. The stars don't shine. They're going to wish for morning. They're going to act like they're throwing the anchors. You know the story. But in the middle of the storm, God pulls Paul aside, and he's a help and an encouragement to those that are around him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, you come. My Heavenly Father, I pray you'd touch your people. Lord, you knew before we ever gathered here tonight who would be where. Lord, you know the storm. Lord, maybe someone's come out, Lord, of a hard storm. And Lord, the words you gave them, someone else may need to hear. Lord, words of encouragement. Lord, you told us, Lord, that whatever it is we're facing, there's been others that have already accomplished it. They've already encountered it. And Lord, they've already come out on the other side. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to believe you. Lord, it takes great faith. It takes great faith in the midst of that storm, Lord, to believe you, to take you at your word. I'm glad you're a personal Savior. I'm glad you love us and you're not going to leave us. Lord, touch him this service this evening for the remainder of it. Do your will. Perform that, Lord, that'll please you and help your people. We'll thank you for all that you do. Every head bowed. They're going to play softly. If you have need, would you come? Do we still believe him? Is it, I hope he will, or I know he can? Remember that confidence that we used to come to church with? We used to sing them songs with confidence. There wasn't a shadow of doubt in our testimony. There wasn't a shadow of doubt. We knew what God had saved us from. He had that much power, and he could take on anything in life. But we've encountered some storms. And I'm not belittling what you've went through. But that same God that saved us, He'll see us through. I believe God. It changed Paul. And it helped those that were around him. Like I said, you may have come out of one of the greatest storms you've ever faced. Somebody may need to hear that he still can. There may be someone here tonight. They're wrestling where Paul was. It's